And I hope you'll join us tomorrow at 10 on Wisconsin Public Radio for President-elect Donald Trump's press conference, hosted by Robert Siegel, with analysis from NPR's political team. That's President-elect Trump's press conference tomorrow at 10 on Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, we're going to turn our attention now to dinner, maybe. Do you have to cook dinner tonight? Wouldn't it be nice to have a quick, healthy recipe to prepare? Well, we've got a few of those for you. Nancy Hughes is our guest. She's a nationally recognized author and food consultant. She's written 18 cookbooks, developed over 7,500 published recipes. And we're going to talk with her about one of those cookbooks. It's called The Four Ingredient Diabetes Cookbook. It's full of healthy and delicious sounding recipes. And we'll take a look at a few of those recipes. She also has some tips for making life easier in the kitchen. What's your favorite quick and healthy recipe? I hope you'll join in the conversation with your questions or with your comments about what you're eating at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. We've been having a few problems with our phones. The lines have been kind of up and down, but just keep trying. You can also email us at talk@WPR.org, or you can post to the Larry Miller Show Facebook page. I'm certainly glad to have you do that as well. And Nancy Hughes, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me.
We were just talking with the authors of The Brain Warrior's Way, and certainly nutrition plays a big role in a healthy brain. And you've done a lot of work on preparing healthy meals. How'd you get involved in creating recipes and cookbooks?
I had babies. And I couldn't lose those last few baby pounds. And so I was moaning to anybody that would listen. And so, anyhow, this is a long story short. I talked with my doctor, and he was telling me some things to do. And he was even on one of those protein, liquid protein diets. Oh, gag. I mean, I'm sorry, but it's awful. But anyhow, I tried it. And I tried it for 6 days. You know, a shake for breakfast, a shake for lunch, la, la, la. By the sixth day, I was ready to eat a child or a piece of wood, whichever I saw first. I needed. But what I liked about the whole idea of that was I knew that every time I opened a can or a bag or package or whatever, it was consistently low, and I knew what I was getting. Well, this was before fat grams came along, and that was before it hit the news, and it was strictly calories. So I just pulled out a little book I happened to have on hand to see what I could eat for those calories, and I found that I could. And so I made a list of things I could eat. So that started out, and that started the passion and the interest and the passion and the interest, and just skyrocketed to the point that my poor husband at 2 o'clock in the morning said, "Nancy, you can tell me two more things about broccoli, but I have got to be up and at work in 4 hours."
Oh, so you could be a broccoli fanatic.
Got so interested in it. It was just amazing. And that passion just took over my life. It was really exciting. And it hasn't stopped. And I've been writing for now 30 years. And like you mentioned, I have over 7,000 published recipes, 18 books. I've worked on another 60 books with other health organizations, magazines, you name it, brands. So I do a tremendous amount of recipe development, and the passion is still there. And that was the early stages. But then I went, took it a step further, and talked to the head dietitians of all the hospitals in the area, which I'm outside of Mobile, Alabama. But my sister was also a dietitian, but she lived out of the country, so I would talk to her just briefly about things. And then I started writing and using the software they recommended, and had it reviewed, and then just did like you're supposed to do. You go to the library, you pour over the reference books on how to get published, and it wasn't that easy, but I was published. I had actually written the book first and had it ready to go, and now, I haven't stopped. And this was, like I said, like 30 years ago.
It's amazing. Well, you know, this book has the diabetes in the title. What does a recipe have to be have to be considered healthy by the American Diabetes Association?
Well, there's a lot, but it's, you know, lower in sodium, lower in saturated fat, low in carbohydrates. You have a certain amount of protein you should have, a certain amount of vegetables and fruits you should have. So it's really, that's why there are cookbooks, to help people, because it is overwhelming to people. And, you know, that's the thing. When somebody finds out that they've been diagnosed with diabetes, or one of their family members or a friend, it's overwhelming. I mean, granted, it is so overwhelming. It's like, oh, I have to stop eating. I hope my whole life's going to change. No, no, no. That's what's so good about the cookbooks, is that it holds your hand. It shows you that it's okay to eat and go back to having fun. And you don't have to labor over the stove. That's why I wrote this book, is because I just look at myself as a lazy cook. I mean, I'm working 24/7. I'm not lazy, but I'm always looking for shortcuts. Okay.
Yeah. Understood. And, you know, as I look through your recipes, and I have two copies of your book in front of me. I have one from my producer, Jill Nadeau, and I have the one that I, for myself. And I have a whole bunch of post-it notes, various recipes.
Well, you're gonna have to give me pages.
And then she has a whole bunch of post-it notes on hers. And so I thought, well, our post-it notes are a little different here, but so we got to have both books in front of me. Oh, my goodness. I tell you, and here's the thing. I don't have diabetes, and I'm not pre-diabetic, but these recipes, I think, are great for anybody.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're very, very mainstream. They're very familiar. If I couldn't buy something in a local grocery store, I didn't put it in the book. I'm not putting off-the-wall things or hard-to-find things or weird to your everyday cook things, you know? And I am introducing a few ways of changing your techniques and stuff, just because it adds more interest and flavor, but they're all simple. I mean, you know, the whole secret to this, by using four ingredients, is you have to make every single ingredient count. It's got to pop with flavor or do some sort of job, or it didn't go in, you know. And there's no fluff here. It's just really good, high-flavored ingredients that make a great end result. And also, the ingredients that you use, you can... it's a fancy word. Reduction is a fancy word for boiling something down really fast, like within a minute. You know, that's all that is. And, you know, you make a sauce, for example, really quick sauce, and then you take the meat out or your vegetables out, and then you just cook it down for about a minute, and that just reduces all, just, I mean, it concentrates the flavor, and you drizzle it over whatever you're cooking. It just feels like you're in this fancy restaurant and you're at your own table, and you didn't go to any trouble. That if it's simple, you'll do it again and again. If it's hard, you'll do it once in a while. But the whole point is, I want it to be people to say, well, I can do that. Well, yeah, that's the whole point. I want you to feel like that. And I've been cooking for so long and developing recipes for so long for so many people. I mean, Bedhomes and Garden, Cooking Light, American Heart Association, American Diabetes, I mean, on and on and on and on. Big names and great names. And so I feel like I've gotten in touch with the public and with the consumer, but also the editors have helped me, you know, find the thinking capacity that I need to make people happy 24/7. And over the years, I feel like I have. And that's why I wanted to bring it to them. I want them to feel that they can breathe, that they can have fun at this, and they like what they're eating, and the whole family can eat the same thing.
There you go. Well, let's get our listeners involved here. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And you pretty much have the whole range here, from beverages and breakfast to snacks and salads and...
Oh, everything. Everything. And I tried to give as much variety as possible that I feel like, you know, your grandchildren would like, your picky eater would like. I mean, there's something in here for everybody. And it's like, you know, you have a zillion posters. I have a zillion posters on my book, too, to talk. talk about. But again, you'll have to give me your page number when you get to it, because there's 160 recipes here.
I know it. And you know, I just opened one up here, and I'm seeing peach cranberry quick bread, and I love cranberries, and I really like peaches too, and something like that. I thought, oh, this doesn't look
okay. What page, Larry? What page?
37.
Okay. Oh yeah. See, now this is exactly what I'm talking about. You take you know, those packages of the little box of cranberry quick bread muffin mix. It's just they buy them wherever you can buy your muffin mixes, you know, like the cakes and the cookie mixes. And then you put it, you mix that together with water and egg substitute. And if you don't want to use egg substitute, you can use four. Well, it tells you how many egg whites, but use the egg white. Don't use the yolk, because that's where your saturated fat is. And eggs have gotten a bad rap over the years, but just a little goes a long way. So you still can have them, but just not, don't go over the top. But anyhow, you mix the muffin mix with some water and egg substitute and oil, a little bit of canola oil. And then you stir in some frozen peaches, frozen chopped peaches, the unsweetened kind of, you know, you buy in the freezer, and you just throw it in a pan and bake it. I mean, and then you just bake it for about 45 minutes, and then you pull it out and let it cool a little bit. And if you let it cool all the way, all the flavors and the juices of the peaches come out, all the flavors from the cinnamon, the cranberry mix, which is cinnamon and vanilla and all that, all come out. But this is a cool one. If you're having company, especially some sleepovers, or you've got out-of-town guests, which seems like it's 24-7, right? A lot. It seems like it's happening a lot lately. You know, a lot of company. And it's great. It's great for that, because you can make it ahead and just either pop in the freezer or have it when they get in the door.
Well, we have Chris from Wisconsin Dells online here with a question, and we'll, Chris, hold on there. We'll get right back to you. We're going to take a quick look at the news and weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net, and then we'll be back with our guest, Nancy Hughes, author of the 4-Ingredient Diabetes Cookbook. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. You know, we all want to eat healthier, but when time is short, it's tempting to grab fast food or not so healthy pre-made food. And our guest today has a bunch of ideas on how to make simple, quick, and healthy meals with only 4 ingredients. We have Nancy Hughes with us on the phone, nationally recognized author, food consultant. She's written 18 cookbooks and developed over 7,500 published recipes, talking about the 4-Ingredient Diabetes Cookbook, just out in its second printing, by the way, so it's done well. You may have some problems cooking recipes that are good for you. You may have a favorite recipe that you'd like to make healthier. I hope you'll give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And let's turn to Chris in Wisconsin Dells. Chris, hello. Thank you for calling.
I'm so glad you're feeling better. If you're going to get sick, you may as well do it when it's 30 degrees below zero outside. So you can just hunker down. Anyway, the vast majority of the people who have diabetic or pre-diabetic conditions in this country have them because of lifestyle, not genetics. And I have a couple of suggestions. Sugar is not sugar is not sugar. They're putting high fructose corn syrup, which is a very high glycemic index, into everything you buy in the grocery store. If you get that out of your diet, you will drop 50 pounds automatically without doing anything about your diet otherwise. I'm using agave nectar, which is a low glycemic index, and I'm developing recipes for doing that, and I'm going to write and illustrate a cookbook. Get all the cereal grains out of your diet, all of them. They're inflammatory, and they're causing your inflammation in your body is causing you to be diabetic. I'm using quinoa in substitution. The problem is it doesn't have any gluten in it, so every once in a while you get to have a pizza or something. Sweet potatoes have a sugar in them that actually regulates the insulin in your body. And I have these great noodles that I get at the Asian food store that are made from sweet potatoes, but you can incorporate sweet potatoes in your diet. I put it in my coleslaw. There's also stevia and herbs. And if you're interested in herbs in your food, because you'll eat less if you have a very flavorful food, Tia Rona Lodog, who is frequently on the People's Pharmacy, has a book on medicinal culinary herbs and spices. So there we go.
There we go. Well, comments, Nancy.
Whew, okay. And that's all really good. It is really good. Some of the things you mentioned are in specialty shops, which is fine to get to, but you know, I'm specifically gearing this towards a regular grocery store. So I was trying to keep it as simple as possible. And what you're saying is true. The additions that I add to my recipes are things like fresh ginger, orange zest, lemon zest, things of that nature. If you can, fresh garlic. And when I say fresh garlic, I'm not talking about minced, you know, the minced garlic that you buy in the grocery store in the little jars. I'm not a big fan of that. Garlic press. There's a very few tools that I use because I just don't think you need that many tools in the kitchen. And you don't know, well, for me, I don't know what the readers have, so I stay away from them. But I do recommend a few things, and one of them is a garlic press, because you can chop away, and you see the chefs on TV, and they're chopping and mashing and all, and that's great. But a lot of the oils from the flavor from the garlic is being lost in the cutting board. So if you go and use a garlic press, it squeezes all of that flavor out. Try it sometime. Try making a salad dressing with the garlic that you chop on the cutting board, and that same another piece of garlic that you go in a garlic use a garlic press for. You will be a surprise of how much more flavor you're going to get with that. But just different things like that. And like you said, Chris was on track on all these things. I use quinoa. I use a lot of different mixing of grains, and try to avoid processed food as much as possible. But I am taking an everyday approach, so I'm trying to ease people into eating healthier and quickly and safely. And by the way, all of these recipes are approved by the American Diabetes Association. I use their nutritional I did the nutritional analysis. I sent it to them. They have someone else that follows up and does it as well to back me up. And so they're all approved. And that's so nice to know that every time you open this cookbook, you'll find a recipe that you want to try, but you feel that it's their go-to recipes. They're good. They're easy, and they're American Diabetes Association approved, which is a very, very, very comforting zone for me.
Yeah.
And for anybody that has diabetes.
And you do have the exchanges and choices on every recipe, which I think is great. And a tip on everyone. You know, one of the tips in the front part of your book that I thought, you know, that is good. When it came to snacks, you say small bites need heat.
A pop of heat, like jalapeno or red pepper flakes, or even back to the ginger, that has a little bit of heat. But it like opens your mouth. It just,
yeah.
You put it in and it explodes in your mouth. So you want things to count when you're eating, you know, you don't want it to be bland. Because if it's bland, you're going to either try to eat more to see, is it really that? Do I need, what am I missing? You know, try to find whatever you're missing, or you put salt on it, or sugar on it, when neither one is that good of a addition. So if you add a little heat, that helps.
You have some really great-sounding recipes in the book. One of the things that I did like, and going back to something you said earlier, is as I'm looking at these recipes, I'm saying to myself, oh, I've got that in the book.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I love that. These things you already have in your pantry, like peanut butter, you know.
Well, you know, so, but it does feel like you have more than four items in some of your, or more ingredients, I should say.
No, I'm sorry. Water, salt and pepper, and cooking spray aren't counted as an ingredient.
Okay.
That's but like if I have an orange and use the juice and the zest, that's still one ingredient that you buy one ingredient, but you use the outside and the inside. So that's how that comes by as being one, counted as one.
Okay.
And that's fair, and it's true, and it's honest. I hate when people say, you know, something like it's X amount of ingredients, and then you have like 12 things on there. Like, what is this? Well, we don't count, you know, herbs, or we don't count herbs and spices, or we don't count. Wait, why? You know, what if you don't have dill in your pantry? You know, I count dill, I count garlic, I count mustard, you know, I count everything, because you don't know what that person has.
You gave us permission, and thank you, by the way, for that, to post your recipe for frozen chocolate peanut butter layered pie.
Oh, my goodness, that's so good.
Oh, well, you've got more words in the title than ingredients in the recipe.
Yeah, I got a little carried away with that one. Oh, I'm telling you, it's so funny, because I did this. I was being interviewed by our local newspaper, and so I thought, well, I want to have something for them when they come over. So I made that for them ahead of time, and I was talking to the guy who was interviewing me, and I was talking to the photographer, and I was cutting this, and they said, well, they might like to take a piece, you know, a picture of that. And so they did, and as soon as they did, they said, do you have a fork? Would you like some? They ate the whole thing.
So now I can't find the page.
Oh, it's 200. And what you do is you take chocolate wafer cookies. You know, like those little Nabisco things that you see, like half the time it's only during the holidays. You can use that, or you can use, like, the graham crackers, the chocolate graham crackers.
Yeah.
And you take that, and you put them in a bag, a little Ziploc bag. And I say use a meat mallet or the back of a large spoon, and of course you crush them well. You can do that, or you can just use your fist if you're really torqued about something. Which, I'm not necessarily torqued about things, but I like to get my emotions out. And then I take a fork and I mix together some frozen yogurt and peanut butter, a portion of the frozen yogurt and some peanut butter. And I mix that together, and then I take that's half of it. And then the other half I put in the bottom of a pie pan and then smooth it out. And then I top it with this peanut butter mixture and then top it with the cookies and then drizzle it with 2 tablespoons of caramel or chocolate syrup. And then you pop it in the freezer for a few hours. But, oh, my gosh, it's so great because you can make it a day ahead of time. You can make it the morning thereof. And kids like it. Adults like it. You feel like you're 6 years old when you eat this.
And so the guy, the crew liked it that came to do the story?
Oh, yeah, they did. Just a little bit. I mean, they're licking the fork and scraping the bowl, you know? I'd send it home with you, but it'd melt on the way.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Then on top of that, and he said he never does this, he had my article framed, and he hand-delivered it to me, and the picture was that cake, I mean, that pie.
Oh, my goodness me.
Nice guy.
Yeah, it sounds like a nice guy. Oh, my goodness. Well, let me go to, I'm going to just hear, not even knowing what I'm going to, I'm just going to open one of my, all right, here's one, Panko Ranch chicken strips with dipping sauce.
What page?
87.
Okay, this is a kid favorite. It really is. If you're not familiar with panko breadcrumbs, there's Japanese panko breadcrumbs. They're sold right next to the Italian breadcrumbs, and they're unseasoned, but they're flaky. They're a lot flakier than the typical breadcrumbs that you buy. And they're real light. They're real light. Anyhow, you take the chicken, and then you chicken tenderloins, and there's like 8 of them, and then you mix some of the ranch. It's a yogurt ranch dressing that you buy that like in the Nancy. What are you trying to say? The produce section, excuse me, of your store. I get a little lost sometimes. I get a little excited here, sorry. But anyway, you take and you mix the chicken in with part of the ranch dressing, and you coat it up real well. And then you take breadcrumbs and you put it in a shallow pan, like a pie pan, and then you just coat the chicken pieces one at a time with the breadcrumbs, and that way it doesn't get all clumpy and goopy and gunky. You know, it's mm-hmm. nice and crisp. Then you heat oil. It's 3 tablespoons of oil. Canola oil, because that's the lowest in saturated fat of all cooking oils. I'm a firm believer in canola oil. And then you heat it over medium-high heat, a large skillet. You want a nice, large surface. So you heat it over there, and once the oil gets hot, then you add the chicken, and then you immediately reduce it to a medium-low, and you cook it 12 minutes, and then turn every once in a while. Then you sprinkle it with a little bit of salt and serve it with the rest of the ranch dressing for the dip. So you're using 4 ingredients. You're getting fried chicken. And a little dip to enjoy it alongside.
I think, I've got a 13-year-old, so it sounded, would be something that she would definitely eat, so that was, and really enjoy.
Well, Larry, not only can she definitely eat it, but at that age, she would probably like making it. I started cooking. My mom gave me the freedom of the kitchen, but I had to clean up afterwards. So I put on my favorite music, my favorite clothes, kicked everybody out of the kitchen, shut the door, and did whatever I wanted to do in the kitchen off a recipe or whatever. I had so much fun, and that age is a great age to get kids involved.
Yeah, she does enjoy working in the kitchen with me, but maybe I just kick myself out of the kitchen and let her do the work.
Yeah, let her pick out the recipe, though. Let her pick it out and go to the store together to buy the ingredients. Then she comes home, unloads, puts it away, la, 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 and then makes whatever she wants to make. But give her that freedom, because at that age, that's a super, super age to get them started. And it gives them the independence and that which they need, and it's safe in a safe environment. You know, you're only a room away.
What kind of fry pan do you use?
Nonstick. I use anything from All-Clad down to the dime store special, whichever, you know, because we have a cabin about 2 hours north of here, and we go there a lot, and I do a lot of cooking up there. And I have, that's the thing. So I have the more inexpensive version there.
Ah.
And so, and I don't know, you know, if we're going to friends' houses or we're going to their place, you know, you don't know, or you're renting something, you don't know what they're using. I write for America, so I can't, that's the hard part. I can't get the fancy schmanchies anything. I have to have the mainstream. I call every one of my test kitchen people, from Better Homes and Garden to Cooking Light, Nestle, I try them all. And call them all and ask them, which I know most of them, and I do. I'm starting to think. I said, "Listen, I'm remodeling my kitchen. What can I have and what can I not have? What do you guys use?" And they all told me, and everybody told me something different. But you know, it's all. But so, even with that, I knew I had to do something mid-range on my cooking equipment.
Yeah.
Here, because I didn't know. So. I'm not going to say one over another, because I've had problems with the expensive and I've had problems with the inexpensive, and I've had good luck with both. So it's whatever you have on hand, but you probably need to replace it every once in a while if you use it a lot. And I use mine I have three I use every single day. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Well, how about your one that, because I like onions and I like carrots. I saw on page 121 the Homestyle Double Onion Roast, which appealed a lot to me this time of year.
Yeah. Okay, let me get in there. I'm getting there. Don't you love it? This is real time. Okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah, you can. Now, see, you could make this one step even easier if you wanted to. I'm not. Okay, I like regular carrots. Baby carrots are great for dipping, and if you need to throw them into something. I don't think they have as much flavor when you're cooking as the regular whole carrots do, so that's why I called for them quarter. But you can buy the baby carrots and use those instead. So it's, you take carrots and onions, and you put them, excuse me, it's so fast. I mean, when I say fast, it's so easy to do. You've got your carrots, onions, lean eye of round roast, and a portion of the onion soup mix. You know that, well, French's onion soup mix, or Lipton's or whatever. Not the onions, but the onion soup mix that you buy in those little packets that your mom and your grandma used to make your roasts with. It's the same thing, but you're just using a portion thereof, not the whole thing. But you put the carrots and onions in the bottom of a 13x9, and then you brown the beef just a little tiny bit, 2 and 2, in a skillet, and then you put that on the top, and then add water, and scrape the little pan drippings off of the whatever you did when you browned the beef, pour it over there, sprinkle it with the soup, cover it, and then you cook it for an hour, and that's all you do. And then you let it stand, and then while the beef is standing, you let it stand a little bit to cool before you slice it. You keep the vegetables in the pan, and you cover it to keep it warm. But it's not only just keeping them warm. What it's doing is absorbing some of the pan liquids of the beef and all. So it self-seasons, in other words. Oh, it's so good, and it's so easy. And you feel like, it feels like grandma's cooking, you know? It feels like it's a Sunday afternoon years and years ago, and it's okay to have this again.
You know,
that's what I'm saying. All these things, you can. It's the familiar. It's real important to have familiar. I'm telling you, especially if you do have diabetes. But if you don't, you want your family to feel comfort too, and you need more comfort than anybody, just because you're doing the work, which isn't much. But
well, I tell.
I'm sorry.
You know, you mentioned Sunday, and I thought when I was looking at this, I thought this would be a great Sunday recipe.
Yes. It's just, you know, and you smell that. Oh. And it just, just fills the air. And it's cold outside. Oh, okay. That's what we're having.
And you know, when I make twice baked potatoes, I always use some French onion soup mix.
Oh, do you? Well, then you have some left over to use that with.
Yeah, so I always have onion soup mix because I use it for twice baked potatoes with a little sour cream and a little milk and some cheese in that. Onion soup mix gives it that nice little extra boost.
and the Ivy round roast is the leanest, is one of the leanest cuts of beef. So you don't feel like you're. I mean, it tastes like $1 million, but it's not hurting you at all.
No, I like that part of it as well. And just to shoot back here to the cakes and so forth, page 201 there, that crescent pineapple. I do like pineapple, and the delicate crescent pineapple cake.
Oh, yeah, is really good, and it is good. It's and you're using a box mix, so that, you know, cheaters. But what you're doing is you're mixing the cake mix, just the regular white cake mix. You're mixing it with eggs and water and baby food pears, you know, the pureed baby food.
Yeah.
And you take a 6-ounce jar of that and you mix that together, and that takes the place of the oil. And then you pour that into your pan, like a jelly roll pan. It's almost like a baking, like a cookie sheet, a rim cookie sheet. And then you top it with the pineapple halves all over the top. And then you bake it off, and then you hang on to the juice, and you put that in the little pan, and you reduce it. There comes that reduction I'm talking about. You reduce it, but 6 minutes. You just boil for 6 minutes. That's how that is. And it gets about a fourth of a cup, and then you let it cool down. And then when the cake's cooled, then you brush it with that pineapple juice, and over that, the pineapple slices and the cake. And you can either have it warm or you can have it room temperature, but you don't have any icing. You don't have any extra sugar. You've got you don't have any oil except for the eggs. I mean, the fat's the eggs, but you have 3 eggs, and it feeds 20 people, so it's okay.
and as you point out, your cook's tip there: serve it with grilled meat or seafood, you know, for entertaining.
Yeah, yeah, it's just real nice and light. It's a nice snacky type cake. It really is. So all these things that I'm doing, I do have a tinge of convenience to them, but not necessarily, you know, box convenience. You just do it conveniently. You know, the word is stretched.
You stretch the word a little bit.
And the ingredients. The ingredients stay 4, but boy, am I using them to their fullest, to their fullest. They have to have some personality to them before they even get in the recipe. But in the book, seriously, there's kitchen tools that I actually do use, which you don't have to use them, but I do. Like the grater, it's like a microplane.
Yep.
Love, love, love. Just watch your knuckles, but I love, 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 love that one. Because, I mean, you can do lemons and limes and oranges and, you know, grate all that. You can do garlic. Now, if you don't have a garlic press, that's another way to use, of course, your hand. Okay.
Okay. You know what? We're out of time, Nancy. We have burned through the time. Thank you so much for being. It's been a hoot. I hope we get a chance to talk again. Thank you.
Thank you. And you can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or shopdiabetes.org.
There we go. The 4-ingredient diabetes cookbook. And her recipes are as much fun as she is, as a matter of fact. Nancy Hughes is the author. Thanks for listening. Stay with us.